Thank you for joining us for the segment of Notable People with your host, Andrea Schwartz, where we introduce you to some notable people making significant contributions toward furthering the kingdom of Christ.
Sam Blumenfeld has spent over 30 years writing about American education and the decline in American literacy. Additionally, he has challenged the state school system by asking why schools push sex education and drug education, but are dead set against intensive phonics and rote memorization for teaching arithmetic. His best-selling expose on the National Education Association, entitled NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education, has virtually become a classic in critical educational literature. His other well-known books, Is Public Education Necessary?, How to Tutor, and Alpha Phonics, are being used by thousands of parents and homeschoolers to teach their children the three R's in the traditional manner. After graduating from the City College of New York in 1950, Dr. Blumenfeld worked for 10 years in the book publishing industry. His articles have appeared in many publications, and he has lectured in health seminars in all 50 states and Canada, England, Australia, and New Zealand. I first became acquainted with Sam Blumenfeld when handed his books by R.J. Rushdoony of the Chalcedon Foundation back in 1986, and have been a fan ever since. Two out of my three children learned to read with his Alpha Phonics, and it was Sam who first encouraged me to write about my experiences with homeschooling, and with his push, this reluctant writer now has three books to my credit with another one on the way. Thank you so much, Sam, for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Andrea.
Since we only have a limited time to chat, and rather than focus on why people should homeschool or the academic, spiritual, and psychological perils of statist education, since a quick internet search will give our listeners plenty of information to go on, today I'd like to focus on what you feel the status of homeschooling is currently and what challenges and obstacles Christian parents need to be aware of as they proceed in the education of their children in 2010?
Well, there are a lot of things that they should be aware of. Of course, the culture itself is pretty anti-Christian, and so they've got to provide their children with a good grounding in the history of Christianity, in biblical studies. You know, the Bible really is the basis of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and it's very important to stress that in any kind of education that you give your children, because that will provide a wonderful foundation, a moral foundation, and also an understanding of history. People don't realize that the Bible is really also a history book. And there are lots of wonderful characters as vibrant as those in Shakespeare or Marlowe. So it's that's one area where parents can do it at home and not at all be, trammeled by the education authorities out there who would like to control the homeschoolers, but of course can't.
Well, that's really the crux of the issue. Who's going to educate the children? Who's going to shape the next generation? Now, you've been doing this for a number of years, and you've no doubt talked to thousands of homeschooling parents. From your estimation, without the education degrees and everything else, by and large, do homeschooling parents do a good job of educating their children?
Oh, absolutely. It's been quite surprising to see how well parents can do, because parents, first of all, know their children better than any teacher who first encounters the child in a school and really knows nothing about its background. But the parent who has lived with the child since the very beginning and understands that child's idiosyncrasies is able really to take advantage of that knowledge, that child's knowledge. And so they can easily do a much better job than, of course, the public schoolers who, unfortunately, have to use faulty teaching methods, as, for example, whole language and reading or the new math and all kinds of crazy methods, teaching methods that really don't educate but really dumb down. And I'm sure you're acquainted with Charlotte Isherbert's great book on the deliberate dumbing down of America. So parents don't dumb down their children. What parents do is they lift them up. They lift them up spiritually, morally, academically. Of course, you know, and you'd be surprised how ignorant are today's public school teachers, because the teachers' colleges today simply do not create good teachers because they don't teach them how to teach phonics. I don't know of a single teacher's college anywhere, in a university or elsewhere, that teaches future teachers how to teach reading in the proper phonetic way. And also they all have all kinds of crazy ideas, you know, secular humanism and values clarification and all kinds of things that the parents will not get involved with. The parents understand what has to be taught, basic skills, and generally they're not only able to do it, but now there are so many books and programs available. I'm sure, Andrea, you've gone to homeschool conventions and have wandered among the vendors to see all the materials that are now available. It really is amazing how the homeschool movement has grown to such an extent that that there is a plethora of wonderful books, curricula, etc., for the homeschooler.
And that's not an overstatement. It's not uncommon to go to a homeschool convention, be in the exhibit hall, and seeing families with big suitcases on wheels going around purchasing their curriculum. And at the conventions, it's usually an excellent place because then they don't have to pay shipping costs. The vendors are there to demonstrate, to ask questions. It's amazing. I've been there with some people who were really relatively new to homeschooling, and they were shocked. They were not only shocked by how many vendors were there, but the level of understanding and the questions that parents asked. You would never know that this is supposed to be an inadequate education, because most, if not the great majority of parents, do not hold education degrees.
Well, that's right, and you don't need an education degree, because the degrees that are being given out in today's colleges signify really nothing. They don't signify that the teacher actually knows the subject. The schools are mainly interested in philosophy of education and in methodology, but not subject matter. And so there are many teachers who lack basic subject matter in history and geography, etc. And the result is that the kids are pretty bored by the public schools because they're not being given the kind of information. They're not being given the history that they should. You see, one of the great things about homeschooling is that you can never be bored at home because you have the freedom to read whatever you want. Of course, most parents, you know, have a kind of set curriculum. They want to make sure the child can read, but once that child can read, that opens the door to a vast world of interesting interesting subjects.
And I think that's probably what bothers too many homeschooling parents when they embark on it. They think they have to be like the outside school or the day school, when in actual fact, it's ludicrous to try to compare it, because you'd be comparing something superior to something inferior.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, back in the old days, at the very beginning, many parents tried to replicate a classroom at home. You know, they would have a blackboard and have their kids seated in the front, and the homeschooling mom would act like a public school teacher. But eventually they got away from that and began to realize that homeschooling is a totally different form of education, that it's much more relaxed, it's informal, and it has no limits. You know, there are no bells ringing. There are no so-called recess periods in which children sit around doing nothing or throwing spitballs at each other. And also it's a healthier place because, as you know, in today's classrooms, Andrea, the kids now sit around little tables. They're facing one another, and they're coughing into each other's faces.
That's true.
You know, whereas when I was going to school back in the old days, we sat in rows in desks that were bolted to the floor, and if we coughed, we coughed into the back of somebody's head, but not into their faces.
Right.
Homeschooling is a healthy place. It's a safe place. You don't get massacres in homeschools. You don't get assaults. You don't get brutalization. Here, for example, we've had a terrible case of a child being so bullied that she actually hangs herself, committed suicide because of the bullying she was undergoing in the local high school. But, of course, you don't get that at home. So home is safe. There's no bus ride to worry about. Also, it provides a nourishing environment because mother can cook up a very nice lunch, or the kids can cook themselves up a lunch, whereby in school you don't know what you're going to get. I don't know what they serve these days, hot dogs or hamburgers or macaroni and cheese, that sort of thing that you usually expect in these schools. And, of course, now in many public schools, they're providing, two meals a day, breakfast and lunch.
Right. They're becoming a replacement for the family.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's a very important aspect of homeschooling, is the enrichment of family life. When education becomes the core of the family's activities, that family just blossoms because they're interested in knowledge. They're interested in learning. They're interested in reading and discussing things. So you get this wonderful interplay between child and adults, mother and father and siblings. It's also very important that in homeschooling, the brothers and sisters get to know one another very well, whereas in the public schools, brothers and sisters are dispersed in different classes, different schools, and they make friends on the outside with perfect strangers. And I have nothing against friendship, but some of these friends are really not very helpful because a lot of kids get into trouble by, linking up with the wrong school group. But at home, they get to know their brothers and sisters, and this kind of a relationship lasts a lifetime. And there is no better relationship than one between a brother and a sister, or two brothers or two sisters, because they know where they've come from, and they have this common background with their parents. They know their origins, and they know each other, and they respect each other, and that's very important. So that's a very important part of homeschooling, is the enrichment of family life. And particularly if there's the religious aspect, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing your parents in prayer and knowing that they themselves submit to a higher power. And that makes it easy to discipline kids, because when they see parents being disciplined by God, by God's word, then they know that they themselves have to also submit to the discipline of God's word.
And that's really a huge point, because what you get in other settings is a domination approach as opposed to a dominion approach. I often tell new homeschooling parents, when I'm encouraging them to make the Bible the foundational book for all subjects, that there's a risk involved when you teach your children the Bible, because if you start acting in an inconsistent way to the Word of God, they're going to point it out to you. They're going to understand that we all have to play by the same rules. There isn't an oligarchical elite who gets to break the rules that they're requiring you to follow.
Well, not only that, but even when children depart from the biblical teachings that they've had at home, they usually come back after wandering through the deserts of secularism and also the frustrations and horrors of secular life, they eventually come to the conclusion that what they learn as children from the Bible endures and represents values which enhance life and enhance happiness. You know, part of the Declaration of Independence talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness is something that can easily be instilled in a young person by homeschooling, because parents want their children to be able to do the kind of work, get into a kind of profession that they really enjoy. Because if they've enjoyed education at home, then they want to maintain that enjoyment for the rest of their lives. So they're not going to go into a profession that's going to make them miserable, because they have been able to use their freedom and their time to find things that are of interest to them. And this is very important when you're creating your future, your career.
Right. Another byproduct, especially for people who feel gypped in the education that they received. I speak to a lot of homeschooling parents, especially dads, who will tell me they had dropped out of school because they had looked at school as just a glorified babysitting service and they were tired of having to be there. So at first they might feel a bit deficient in terms of how to teach their children. However, many, because they're adults, can learn in an accelerated fashion. And some tell me they're getting the education they never had as they're giving an education to their children.
Yes, that's so true, because a lot of these parents never had a decent education in history. They never learned much about geography, but now they have an opportunity to learn these things. As a matter of fact, by using my Alpha Phonics book, many parents have improved their own reading ability by teaching their children how to read phonetically. And so you see all kinds of benefits that arise from the homeschooling experience. And that's why, of course, I encourage it, not only for the families, but also for America. Because we're not going to be a free country if all of education is government controlled. And as long as the American people still have the freedom to create private schools and to homeschool, no totalitarian power will be able to impose its will on the American people. And I don't see any president, a socialist or communist or what, that is going to try to interfere with homeschooling, because they will encounter a movement that is just not going to accept that kind of dictatorial influence.
Right. It's really hard to remove liberty from a person's heart once it's been placed there. It's pretty easy to close the door to liberty and make it so that people are only oriented as slaves. But once it's there, it's very hard to dislodge.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a tradition of freedom. And that freedom has been impinged upon by government schools and government curricula and government mandates. But you can see in the rise of the Tea Party movement that there is a resistance and a rebellion against this whole tendencies toward bigger and more forceful government. And it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this is played out in the months and years ahead. And I assume that the homeschoolers are on the side of the Tea Partiers, and perhaps many of them are even involved
right.
in that movement to restore basic freedoms to America.
You know, you were the first person who ever really opened my eyes to the fact that public schools aren't failing. You know, you look and you'll say public schools are failing because students are functionally illiterate. They can't do basic computations. They're not ready to go out and be self-supporting. You're the first person who acquainted me with the perspective. Maybe they're succeeding. They're just not trying to produce the things that you think they want to produce.
That's right. The public schools are actually, as far as the educators, that is those at the top who run the system, they consider it a great success. I mean, they've managed to dumb down a highly literate population and deprive us of basic intellectual development. I mean, that's quite an achievement to have produced the high degree of illiteracy in this country when we actually spend more money than ever on education. As a matter of fact, they're so clever that whenever somebody talks about illiteracy and the dumbing down process, what do the educators say? Give us more money and we'll solve the problem. Uh-huh. And of course, they've been saying that now for 50 years. And I think the American people have reached the point where they can no longer be fooled. But of course, with the National Education Association having such strong political power in the legislatures of this country and also the Congress, it's very hard for us to change things. And that's why I'm so supportive of homeschooling, because these are the frontline shock troops for freedom. And that's why it's very important for us to support the homeschool movement and to help it gain greater influence in our society.
What do you think the influence would be or the effects would be if the U.S. actually ever ratified the U.N. Convention Rights of the Child?
Well, if the U.S., that is the Congress, the Senate, actually ratified the that particular business, of course it would deprive parents of the freedom to educate their own children, because they don't trust parents to educate their children. The UN people want all children to be under government control, and so that particular so-called rights of the child would impinge on parents' rights. And, of course, it's parents who are responsible for their children. It's the parents who give birth to them. It's the parents who feed them and clothe them and bring them up. And that's always been a problem with the utopians. They've always wanted to separate the children from their parents. Even in Israel, in the kibbutzim, the so-called collective farms that were created early in the history of Jewish settlement in Palestine, they separated the parents from their children. And this didn't work out very well because it produced a kind of alienation between parents and children. Whereas in the normal family, the bond between children and their parents is an enduring value that stays with one for one's entire life. I mean, the love of parents and the love of children for their parents and the love of parents for their children is something that is part of family life. But utopians have this strange view of human nature. They have a very strange view of love. They have a very strange view of how society should be, structured. They are basically collectivists. They don't believe in individualism. But our system is based on individualism, and that's why our Declaration states that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is so crucial and so central to the American idea, because it emphasizes individualism. And individualism is what is also emphasized by homeschooling, whereas the public schools today are creating little collectivists who cannot work by themselves. They've got to work in a group. It's all groupthink, group activities, and now they even have such a thing as an average score. Nobody can get they're afraid that if somebody gets a high score and somebody gets a low score, that there's this discrepancy between scores. So they want to equalize everybody. And that's what happened, of course, in China. Everybody dressed the same, you know. And but in America, we love individualism, and we promote it, and we defend it, and we think that it is the key to happiness. If you're going to pursue happiness, You can only do it as an individual. And of course, Christianity is important because salvation is an individual affair.
Right.
So you don't do it collectively. Salvation is a one-on-one thing between the individual and God, between a collective.
One of the most encouraging trends from my perspective in homeschooling is how many people who have come here from another country looking for the benefits of the U.S. have discovered that the public school system isn't what they want for their children, and now they're beginning to homeschool here.
Yes, that's particularly true of immigrants from the Soviet Union who come to this country expecting us to have a great school system, and then when they find out that the kids are being dumbed down, that they can't read, they learn very quickly that homeschooling is the best way to make sure that their kids not only learn English, but also learn Russian. It's one of those great moments of enlightenment that people have when they come to this country and realize what has been going on here. People don't realize, people on the outside, when they come here, don't realize to the extent to which the progressives and socialists have taken over this country and, you know, and have tried to institute socialism, impose a socialist system on a free people. And, of course, there's going to be conflict when that happens. And luckily, fortunately, we can still exercise educational freedom. And we've got to maintain that ability to homeschool or else we'll lose everything. We'll lose all freedom.
Right. And I think that is the crux of it, that we've got the basis of giving something to the next generation, and the trend is a lot of homeschool graduates that I know are now actively involved in homeschooling their own children.
Oh, yes, because they understand the values of homeschooling, the pleasures, the interests that are developed by children, and also it's a wonderful way to create a strong family in which everybody cooperates. And when you have education as the core of family life, you can imagine how rich that becomes, especially with that core. You have the teaching of the Bible, or the teaching of religion, and that creates a wonderful family life. And children want to replicate that family life when they marry and have families of their own, because they have a model on which to build. And I imagine that among homeschoolers you have fewer divorces and fewer incidents of child abuse or family abuse and that sort of thing, which is very widespread among the public school population.
A point you made earlier about brothers and sisters interacting together, my oldest and my youngest have a spread of 14 years, and it's not uncommon for people to assume that my daughter and son don't have a relationship with each other, but they do, because when my daughter was born, my son was 14. He did a lot of the caring for my daughter and helping out, and now today he's a grown man married with two children, and I know his wife is very grateful for the training he received at home because he's a great dad, and she never once complains that he doesn't do his share.
Well, that's wonderful. He probably learned how to put on diapers very early.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. One other comment I wanted to make. I did talk to a woman once who called me up. She wasn't a Christian, but she was an Indian woman who had been given my name and number as somebody who homeschooled, and we were talking. And, of course, in the course of the conversation, I shared with her that what I was an advocate of was not only homeschooling, but specifically Christian homeschooling. And we talked some, and she made a statement that has stuck with me. She made the point, and she said, you know, what I know is the teachers, they don't love my daughter. In homeschooling, the teacher loves the student.
That's so important. And that was the point that I made, is that the parent knows the child and loves the child, whereas the teachers, God knows what the teachers think of that child. You know, there's always a teacher's pet. and the teacher's pet has a special place in that classroom. But most children in today's public schools are totally alienated from their teachers, because most of the teachers really don't enjoy what they're doing in today's schools. They know that what they're doing is pretty awful. You see that the only teachers who manage to do well are those who understand that children have souls. They themselves are basically religious. They can't practice it in the school, but they at least have respect for the children they're teaching, because they realize that they're not animals, which is what behavioral psychology has drummed into their heads, that the idea that children are little animals. But if they have if the teachers themselves have a religious background, they will respect the children because they know that they also have souls. And that's very important. But your Indian lady friend made a very good observation.
Well, I can't believe that half hour is gone, Sam. I think I could talk to you for hours on end. Thanks for joining us today. Is there anything before we're done that you would like to say that maybe we haven't covered, or as a way to encourage homeschooling parents?
Well, I would simply tell them to be aware of what's going around this country politically, because it's politics that are going to determine whether this nation remains free. And so I want to encourage homeschoolers to get involved in politics by either joining the Tea Party movement or actually running for office. In fact, there are, I believe, homeschoolers who are now sitting in state legislatures around the country. So that would be my final word today, is to get involved in politics and the political life of this country to make sure that we restore and maintain our freedoms.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope we'll maybe in the future get to talk again.
Okay, Andrea, it's been a great pleasure.
Visit us on the web at www.notablepeople.org.